Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell, coast to coast.
All right, Carver High, these late night games I think are juicy with like St. Louis, Arizona, and at Toronto, Dodgers. And for me, the Pirates, Padres, I like that one at Petco as well.
Yes, we do have ourselves three games late night on the left coast. We will start in Arizona, where the Cardinals come into town to take on the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks absolutely reeling right now. They have been miserable for weeks. Adam Wainwright goes for the Cardinals. I know this was supposed to be Zach Davies' spot for the Diamondbacks, but he went on the IL. Ryan Nelson, it looks like, might slide in tonight, Scotty, as they had a TBD for most of the day there in this one. Diamondbacks minus 140, Cards plus $1.15, flat 10 the total, big total in Arizona.
Yeah, I like Arizona. Believe it or not, I don't like Wainwright at all anymore. I think he's shot. I think it's over. Nobody wants to be mean about it. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's pretty obvious to me. So I still got to go Arizona. I don't find much risk in it. In fact, I think the Cardinals have been playing pretty good baseball. They did not play well at Wrigley. But overall, if you look at the bulk of it, it's been like, you know, 9 of 15 or 14, something like that.
Yeah.
They've been winning, but I don't see it. I think Arizona gets right again tonight in the desert.
The Pirates head south to San Diego. They'll have a couple games with the Padres at Petco. Quinn Priester gets his second start in the majors. Yu Darvish will go for the Padres tonight, who are minus 275, plus 220 for the Buccos, 8.5 the total.
Yeah, I like the over, and I like the Padres laying the 1.5. I know I said I went with that yesterday, and it lost, but Priester was all over the place in his first start. He's going into San Diego to pitch against this lineup, against these bats in their building. I don't see it. It's got to be San Diego and lay the 1.5 at I think around minus -130.
Yep. Yep, minus 125 up to the second is where they're laying that 1.5. And finally, the Blue Jays into Los Angeles to take on the Dodgers. Jose Berrios and Michael Grove is the pitching matchup tonight. Dodgers minus 120, even money for the Jays, 9.5 the total.
I mean, I think Berrios has been really good, fair enough, and I think the Jays are really good, except they're playing the Dodgers. Okay, so yeah, the Dodgers are better than them, and that's just all there is to it. And I'm going to go Grove, and I'm going to go L.A., and I got him this morning, and it moved. It went from 130 to 120, so I'm on L.A., and I bet it.
There you go. That's tonight's action, Major League Baseball. Before we move on, Scott, how about tater time for tonight? We got a couple of juicy ones to try and ring the bell for you here. Two in the first game I got for you, Milwaukee-Cincinnati. First, Willie Adames going up against Ashcraft. What's he done? How's 3-for-11 with two home runs? That's all within the last couple weeks, I believe. So Adames has been all over this guy, plus 375 for him. Jake Fraley on the other side. There's actually a few reds, Scotty, with numbers and homers off of Colin Rea. Fraley, Votto, and Benson have all hit homers off of him. We're going to go with Fraley and the plus 575. Schwarbaum against Dean Kramer down in Philadelphia at plus 225. Alex Bregman has been smoking hot. He's got four homers over the last week, hit a bunch in Oakland this past weekend. Plus 550 for him against Gray down in Houston. And Mookie Betts has beat up Jose Berrios in his career. Two homers off of him in some limited at-bats. We will take him tonight as well, late night in Los Angeles.
And I'll throw Votto in there. I'm going to throw Muncy in there. I'm going to throw Freeman in there. And we welcome our radio affiliate, Sirius Channel 159. And, of course, Sports Byline and all their radio affiliates. Good to have you with us on a Monday, coast to coast on Sports Grid TV.
Let's ring the bell. I got no problem. Votto in there as well. Anybody in the Dodger J game. I think that that number's 9.5 for a reason. I think you're going to get some long balls tonight out at Chavez Ravine. And lastly, did you catch any? I'm sure you didn't, considering where you were. The Crime Dog and Scott Rolen inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'll say this. Maybe it's just because of who the guys were. But maybe the names weren't big enough. This is the first time in a long time. Zero coverage or anything of it. I didn't see one clip. I didn't see one mention. I didn't have this the entire weekend of these two guys go. Maybe everybody's starting to become like me, Scotty. They don't care anymore about the Baseball Hall of Fame. Maybe that's it.
Well, I mean, you heard Mike DeCourcy last week just absolutely ringing them up. Like that the baseball writers and the Baseball Hall of Fame is a joke. Basically, I mean, in not so many words, that's what he said. He said they have ruined that place, and I didn't see it either. I will say that I'm happy, as I've said to you before, I'm friendly with Crime Dog, and I reached out to him on Saturday and congratulated him and told him how happy I was for him. And, you know, I was such a fan of Fred's and love him. He's a cool dude. And I haven't heard back from him yet. And who knows if I will. Hopefully I will. But I tried to see if he'd come on and talk about it. You're right. There was no coverage, which I think is a little bit disgusting because they've always covered the Baseball Hall of Fame inductions. I've never seen it ignored like this. It is what it is, bro. I think you're right. Nobody cares.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's pretty obvious, Carver High, that Mafia doesn't like me telling him stories about people that we don't like.
Well, I mean, maybe he does want to hear that, but, it's people you don't like. So, you know, we say, screw them. It's people you don't like. Forget them. Leave them behind is what it is. The final major of the year completed yesterday. Across the pond, our favorite, the Open Championship. And unfortunately, Brian Harman really didn't leave much in the drama department on Saturday and Sunday in terms of who was going to win this tournament. First ever major for the Georgia Bulldog. Brian Harman, he finishes at 13 under, wins it by 6 shots over Tom Kim, Sepp Straka, Jason Day, and John Rahm, who all finished in a tie for second at 7 under. A masterful performance. He built that lead on Thursday and Friday and held the fort basically over the last 2 days. Didn't make really any mistakes and got it done. Here he is first, Scotty, saying that he always thought that he could potentially had the game to win a major. Here's Harman.
I've always had self-belief that I could do something like this. It was just, you know, when it takes so much time, you know, it's hard not to let your mind falter. Like, you know, maybe I'm not winning again. I'm 36 years old. Game's getting younger. All these young guys coming out, you know, hit it a mile, and they're all ready to win. Like, when is it going to be my turn again? And it's been hard to deal with. I mean, I think someone mentioned that I've had more top tens than anyone since 2017. So that's a lot of times, like, where you get done and you're like, damn it, man. Like, I had that one. It just didn't happen for whatever reason. So, to come out and put a performance like that together, like start to finish, you know, just had a lot of control. I don't know why this week, but I'm very thankful that it was this week.
Well, good for him, and I'm happy for him. It is what it is. I will say this. Sunday was awesome with the weather. I mean, when you can't even see the camera because there's so much rain, and every single shot is like a drunk that's had 15 scotch and waters with blurry eye. That's what it was like watching the Open, which is the way I like it. Driving, pelting rain and wind and crap and conditions that are absolutely inhuman and brutal. I will say this, people may not like it, but how boring is this guy, like, to win? Like, no, I mean, it was just like, oh, God, this guy's going to win? Like, it just, no one cares about him except him and his family. No. Fair enough. I know you think I'm crazy maybe, but I just was like this watching him. I'm like, I am so bored watching this guy win and going away six strokes. Jeez. I'm like, this guy, like, Saturday, I'm like, I'm literally watching going, no one's going to catch him. And he's like, it's like a painted garage door. He's boring. I would have taken anybody. It just, I don't like, you know, just personalityless, whatever. Just his game, it just goes through the motions. Am I crazy?
No, you're not. That is Brian Harman. There's not going to be much there. You're not going to get much out of him. I mean, I played a clip for you on Friday, which was after because he went out real early on Friday morning and built that lead. And, like, I mean, I gave you the one clip where, like, he gave you something. Like, every other question, he gave, like, this, like, four- or five-word answer. Like, I guess he doesn't like talking to the media. I guess he doesn't like doing any of that stuff. But he's very, very short and boring. But now he's a major champion, and you have that for life. And we'll see Brian Harman every year, wherever the Open Championship is, teeing it up until he decides not to play anymore. Here is one little thing he did do, though. He gave you this story, which was, I guess, if you remember, he had two early bogeys on Saturday in that opening round where it looked like maybe he was going to fall back to the pack. And he says some guy started giving him the business in the crowd, and that refocused him. Here's Harman.
After I made the second bogey yesterday, a guy, when I was passing him, he said, Harman, you don't have the stones for this. That helped.
That was the motivation?
Yeah, that helped a lot. I think he was a... anyway, that helped. I mean, it just helped snap me back in, like, you know, that I'm good enough to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go through my process, and the next shot's going to be good.
So it was a case of trying to prove any doubt was wrong?
You know, I'm not going to give that guy any more. I shouldn't have given him credit right there. But, I mean... Yeah, I just the resilience, just knowing I knew I was gonna make, you know, I figured at some point that I was gonna hit bad shots. I mean, it just with the weather and the scenario, you're gonna hit bad shots, and I knew that the way I responded to that would determine whether I'd be sitting here or not.
Well, I think he won because of putting, not because of some fan. And I'll tell you another thing. Anyone that screams every time when they tee off, if you do that, you're a effing loser. There's nothing worse in golf than these tools that every time a guy hits a tee shot, they yell something stupid. I don't care whether it's Baba Booey or Hamburger. They yell the dumbest things, and you are just such a tool loser. Anyone that does that, I think someone should beat the shack out of them. Somebody yells something, somebody should crank them over the head. Honestly, or pour a beer in their face. I am so sick and tired of watching golf, and every single time someone yells something, and let me, just so we're clear, the golfers cannot stand you people. They can't stand you. They hate you. Ask anyone on tour, these guys that yell when they tee off, there's nothing that irritates them more. You're painful. You're a loser. Stop going to golf tournaments and making a fool of yourself. Is there anything more painful than that, Carver? Don't even tell me I'm wrong.
No, guys who yell in the backswing are no good whatsoever. You cannot have that at all. And they've done a better job at big tournaments of keeping that down. I know they had a problem at the celebrity nonsense last week with that. But, I mean, guys in real legit tournaments... they do usually drag those guys out when that happens at those. So they've done a much better job at it, that's for sure. I was one of those guys on Friday night. I didn't think he had the stones for it either. But he certainly showed me, and he got it done over Saturday and Sunday. The other story, as always, is Rory, Scotty. 9 years now without a major. He should just play those four tournaments, I guess, right? Who cares about the other ones?
Yeah.
Who cares about whatever else Rory does? His entire life and career now is only based on 4 weeks out of the year. Nothing else really matters at this point.
Get ready for East Lake so he can make another $15 million. I mean, the guy's unbelievable.
Hey,
and Ryder Cup.
It's possible.
You know, President's Cup, all those things, he's great. Match play, he's great at everything. Look, I've said this to you before. Every major, the pressure gets not, it just keeps getting twisted up like a doll. It just keeps getting worse. Every major, he's favored. He's top two or three favored to win it, and he just can't win another major. And I think as it gets, now as he gets older every year, I think it gets harder and harder. I'm not sure he'll ever win another one. I told you this last week. I want him to, but I don't think he will. And I also think it's the stress of it all, the pressure of it all. It's just heaping it on him every single major that he's got to win a fifth. You know what? I said this to you last week. You win four majors, or you're Koepka and you win five, put him up on the mantle and live your life. No one will ever take the four away from him or the five for Koepka. Who cares if you win another one? I know it matters to them, but who cares if they don't? When you go to bed as an old man with five majors or four majors or one major, if Brian Harman can live forever, like Sergio won that green jacket, he can go to his grave. They made fun of him forever, and he got a green jacket. So, you know, here's me giving double birds to everyone that doesn't like it. If you win a major, you're set for life. One. All you have to do is win it once.
And speaking of Ryder Cup, you know, the first six slots are done by points. That put Harman in. He's going to be one of the six guys on the U.S. team at the Ryder Cup now because of that win this past weekend at Royal Liverpool, which is very
He can play and he can putt. I got no problem with that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, the Lion's Share brought to you by BetMGM and their Swing for the Fences. How do you get in on it? Well, three easy steps. Log on to the BetMGM Sportsbook app and play the MLB free-to-play game from now till September 7th. Be a batter, pick an area of the strike zone. Depending on the area you pick, like, you know, single, double, triple, home run, or pop-out, receive the prize associated with that type of hit. Play it once a day. Prizing must be used on MLB and expires in 24 hours. Davis Lee Roth Matic from Fantasy Sports Today. 8 o'clock on Saturdays with Scoop Mish, but he's on coast to coast every day, and that's what matters, and he can feel it. He can dig it. All right, good to see you, Davis. We said earlier on the show that the Yankees swept the Royals, but I said it's like playing a high school team. Like, is somebody surprised they were able to beat the Royals? But their schedule coming up with all these – you know, Orioles and Rays and Mets and Houston. I think we're going to see again that they're exposed and they're not a playoff team. I mean, I hope they make the playoffs. People get me wrong on his show. They think I bash the Yankees a lot because I do. I do bash them, but I love them. I want them to go to the playoffs. I want them to win the World Series. I want them to be successful, but they're not, and you know it.
Of course I know it. I mean, we've spent this entire season saying that this is not the Yankees team that they should be. I mean, they're 8.5 games back of the division. Would they be the best team in the American League Central? Sure. I mean, that could have been, you know, we would have gotten a little bit of relocation done. Sure. Then they can make the playoffs. But right now, they are 2 games back of Toronto. They are even further back of Baltimore. In fact, Baltimore in first place of that division. I mean, theoretically, maybe if they get 5 wins out of the 7 games they have upcoming against the Orioles and the Rays, maybe I will renegotiate with myself. If they trade for Shohei Ohtani, I'm willing to renegotiate at that point, sure. But I don't really think that's going to happen. I mean, I think this is just going to be a team that plays like a pretty lackluster baseball. And I mean, look, if you can get Ohtani's 37 home runs and his 3.5 ERA, on your team, I'll figure it out. But it doesn't even seem, I haven't heard anything about the Yankees really being interested in Ohtani. The team that everyone keeps floating out is, why wouldn't the Orioles just trade for him at this point? I mean, the Orioles can put together the best package for Ohtani, which seems crazy, but it's true.
God, can you imagine if you're right and he goes to the Baltimore Orioles? Because I already said today, on the show today, at 16-1, I love that bet of them winning the World Series. And I told you last week when they lost 2-3 to the Dodgers, I thought I was watching the World Series. I could see L.A. against them, and then I saw L.A. kick Texas's ass, put 16 on them. I mean, the Dodgers, I think, are better than every team in the American League. It's that simple.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers are. I think the Dodgers are the second best team in baseball. And if we end up getting a series between the Dodgers and the Braves, you know, I think that will be pretty appointment viewing. And what's really so scary about the Dodgers is that this isn't even the best version of the team they could have had, right? I mean, they have a bunch of guys on the IL. They have a bunch of guys who are not contributing right now. Like, they could be even better. They don't have to be playing Miguel Rojas every single day. They don't have to be playing David Peralta every single day, but they do, just because of how injuries have impacted them. I personally would love for the Orioles to really go for it at the deadline. I mean, they can trade. This is a true story, or a true fact, I guess. They have four players under contract in 2024. So they have nothing but house money to play with. They haven't had to start paying all these young guys yet. Now, I don't know the Baltimore Orioles ownership situation and how much money they're really trying to spend to try and keep this team together. And in fact, one of those four players they're paying in 2024 is Chris Davis. Remember that contract
Davis
signed with the Orioles?
Oh, God.
Yeah. So the Orioles could put together like a truly insane roster for this year and next. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what they end up doing. But I really hope they end up buying at the deadline.
I think Chris Davis may actually strike out more than Aaron Hack and more than Joey Ernest and Julio Gallo. I think Chris Davis may have been in my lifetime. I never saw anyone strike out more than him. Or Dave Kingman struck out a lot, and he hit towering home runs when he connected. But, I mean, that guy struck out, three or four times a night, and he might hit one out, but he struck out four other times. Chris Davis, they paid him all that money. That guy struck out. I mean, did he have a hit in his last 2 years in baseball? Did he have one hit?
The way I remember it, he didn't. He had, he had 61 hits his final 2 years in baseball before they finally put him out in the pasture. But while he was doing that, I've never seen anything like this. His strikeout rate for three straight years was 39%. I mean, that is, even in today's modern age of baseball, that, like, you just cannot even believe that someone would strike out that often. And it's not even like he was walking a ton. Like, he was walking some, but basically 50% of the time when this dude got to the plate, the ball was not getting contacted. Like, that is insane. I can't even, and they paid him all that money. So I don't know, maybe they're gun shy about giving out any other big contracts after giving Chris Davis all that money.
So we talked earlier about the Reds and Brewers. Here they go again, right? And I'm still, I see you're on Milwaukee tonight. I bet on Milwaukee. They beat him in 5 out of 6 games.
They did, and this is exactly what I've been saying every day when we've come on here, which is that the Reds, they're an amazing story. You know, I like rooting for them. I do have that divisional future sitting there. I don't feel that good about it. I think this little series they have between the two teams is going to be pretty important. But we got one of their total dumpster fire pitchers going tonight. We got Graham Ashcraft pitching tonight, and it's going to be Luke Weaver, I believe, on Wednesday. Those two guys combined to give up, like, I don't know, 6.5 runs per game, it feels like, at this point. They can't keep the ball in the park. Now, Colin Ray, not the best pitcher that the Brewers have, but he's been better this season than half of the Reds pitching staff. And to me, you know, Scotty, it feels like the Reds should be a team who should be buying early. They shouldn't be waiting until the seconds are ticking off at the deadline, because imagine if they could just send Ashcraft down today and have Jordan Montgomery starting for them. Like, I know neither you nor I love Jordan Montgomery, but he's a lot better than Graham Ashcraft. Like, they could be picking up wins right now, and they're choosing not to.
So you also have another one I bet on the same way as you is the Dodgers. And here they go again, taking on the Jays. This would be like the Baltimore series. This would be like the Texas series. Here they go against another potential playoff team that I think will get into the postseason as a wild card, the Jays. And I think the Dodgers are going to beat them too.
I do. I think this is a big series for the Dodgers. And Michael Grove is pitching tonight for the Dodgers. He's one of those guys who has a little bit of a misleading ERA because he gave up 9 earned runs in his second start against the Diamondbacks. And he had a couple other, you know, not so great ones in there. But he's mostly been good. He has started to figure out his pitch mix. He was throwing his fastball a little bit too much earlier. He's throwing some more of the off-speed breaking ball type stuff. He's been really good for the last month or so. So I think he is a little bit underpriced by the market. And I also don't love Jose Berríos. I think Jose Berríos has mostly been fine this year. The strikeout stuff has been working, but his walks have ticked back up a little bit. And you can't be walking guys against the Los Angeles Dodgers.
So you went with the Phillies tonight and Sanchez, right? Like I took the Orioles at that price.
And I don't hate it. It's just that I think that this is one of the spots where the Orioles find themselves in a little bit of trouble when they're going to these, completely anonymous secondary pitchers that they have. Kramer does have like 2 really good starts this year where he's gotten into the double digits in strikeouts, but he gave up 5 earned runs his last start out against the Dodgers. A lot of guys struggle against the Dodgers. I worry about him because he generates like no strikeouts. He's like a 20% strikeout guy. And this Phillies lineup is just, it's a murderer's row right now. Like they have all these guys playing well. Remember we were so worried about Trey Turner and Kyle Schwarber and they finally turned it on to be like reasonable, you know, closer to their baselines. And Sanchez also has been pretty good for the Phillies thus far as well.
You gonna throw up a J-Ram home run tonight as well?
Yep. Just my strategy most nights when I'm handicapping against the Kansas City Royals is to find, I just like to check the prices for the best hitter on the opposing team for home run. And pretty much when it's deeper than 3-1, I like to bet on that. I mean, I think you could take one of the Naylor brothers here as well, but it's just, I mean, to call the Kansas City Royals a high school team, they're worse than the A's now. I mean, we were all laughing at the A's all at the beginning of the year. Oh, the A's, the worst team in baseball. No one goes to these games. The Kansas City Royals are just as bad. They are, I mean, can you imagine being 25 games back of a division? The bullpen's bad. Ryan Yarbrough's bad. I like Jose Ramirez hit a home run tonight.
Yeah, and how do you think the Texas-Houston series is going to go? The Astros have seemed to have their number.
Well, I mean, they need it, right? Because that would put them in a pretty different spot this series for the deadline, where if they're able to erase 2 of these games that the Rangers are up on them, I think they can set themselves up a little bit better heading into. Because if you get that bye, if you don't have to play that wild card playoff game, you're going to be feeling a lot better. So I'm with you. I think the Astros handle business there in the home state rivalry.
Do you think the Pirates are stupid to get rid of Bednar?
No, they're not stupid to get rid of anyone. Sell what's not tied down. I think if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, I know you don't like to hear it.
Yeah, I don't like to hear that at all. I may reach through that screen and grab you by the face. Anyway, enjoy the games tonight. Davis Lee Roth.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Famous Seamus McGee is the big shot trader at BetMGM in Jersey City, runs the Shop of Horrors. He's always on Coast to Coast every week with us as well, talking about what's going on at the window. I spent the weekend, as you know, at the BetMGM Sportsbook. They know me in there now, certainly. I think they already knew me in there at Yagata Borgata. I've certainly been down there a million times. And they got it going on, man. That place was rocking. It was packed. It was jumping. It was happening. It's a good scene. It's a great spot. So it was pretty cool being there, and I had a lot of tickets going. So let's talk about everything that's going on. So we'll start with the Phillies. They've crept their way into the third favorite to win the NL. How much action are you getting on them? When I left Atlantic City this morning to go back to New York City, I wanted to pull off and drive to Philly and go to that Phillies Orioles game tonight, but I did the right thing and came home and did to do the show so I wouldn't get fired.
Yeah, should be a good series there. We're seeing good action on it today. And, you know, Pennsylvania sports fans, especially down South Jersey as well, you're down in the Borgata. We've seen a lot of Phillies money come in on the futures, their money lines every game. They're playing good baseball right now, and the bettors are really coming to the window looking to see what action they could get on them futures-wise. I mean, the division is going to be a little difficult to pull off with how the Braves are playing. But, yeah, we're definitely seeing some Phillies money coming through.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I know they're not winning the division, but I'm not getting off of them. They're going to the playoffs. One way or the other, they're going to be one of those wild card teams because they are tough as hell to deal with. And you know they're going to get in. It's just inevitable. Like, I cannot see them screwing this up. I think they're going to be a dangerous team, and we'll see if they can get in. And then they'll be fun to bet on. Is there anyone else in the 1,000 to 2,000 range in the National League that's getting significant bets put on them, or just the Braves and Dodgers for the most part?
I mean, it is those three teams taking the bulk of the action between the Dodgers, Braves, and Phillies. I mean, we still are taking a bunch of money on the Reds on for the NL pennant. I mean, that's just mainly a lot of bettors in Ohio. And again, they're a fun team. People like to bet on. People like to watch them. They're not playing their best right now, but we're still seeing money coming on them. The Diamondbacks money has started to taper off a little bit. And then I have seen some Brewers money start to come in this week as well. But I think it's mainly those three teams at the top and then, you know, middling bets coming through here and there on the other teams.
So how are the Yankees only plus 1,300 to win the AL and have way better odds than a bunch of other teams ahead of them? Are you just trying to give the Yankee fans hope so that they keep throwing money at a lost cause, essentially?
Well, it is a bit of a Yankee tax, it feels like, at least right now, where it's, you know, the Yankees number is always going to be pretty short. No matter what number we hang, we're going to be taking a lot of money on the Yankees, unless it's, you know, 7 or 8 years ago when they're way out of the playoff picture. But, you know, they're only two games out of the playoffs right now. Every time someone brings up the name Shohei Ohtani, the Yankees are soon to follow that after, whether they want to actually do a deal for him or not, whether they want to make a deal for Soto or not. So there's a lot of uncertainty with what they're going to do at the trade deadline, what their team's going to look like going forward. So it's a tricky team to navigate where, yeah, they're playing, like, I mean, they did just sweep the Royals, but they're terrible. So you have to keep your eye on, they're not playing great right now. They might get Judge back soon. We'll see what that does, how he plays through that injury. But it's a tricky team to handle right now because they're definitely, I think they're going to be making trades at the deadline. So we have to see how the team's going to look like going forward.
So obviously we can see why the Reds and Orioles are getting action. You had mentioned the Reds already. And you know, they're playing big market teams like the Mets and Red Sox have a bunch of money on them from the start of the season. But how in the hell are the Pirates and Tigers two of your biggest World Series liabilities? That's just crazy.
So the Tigers is every season they have massive odds to do anything. So, you know, our bettors up in Detroit and Michigan, they love taking the futures on them. They'll just throw flyers on them because they are a young team. And, you know, maybe they'll be one of these scrappy young teams and they finally break through to the playoffs this year. But it's a same thing every year with the Tigers. It's a lot of hometown money coming through. And the Pirates, I mean, yeah, we were taking a lot of Pennsylvania money on the Pirates. But at the same time, at the start of the season, they were playing some really good baseball. And that number wasn't really moving down all that quickly. So we were taking a lot of bets on them at pretty high odds. And now they've started to taper off, and they might end up being sellers at the deadline. So not too worried about them. But, yeah, it was mainly a lot of early season money coming in on both of those teams.
So I said earlier on the show that I like the Orioles at 16-1. How much money is coming in on the Orioles at those odds?
I mean, it's most days we're seeing some Orioles money, whether it's them for the division. I mean, the division, we're rooting for the Rays right now to really rebound. They haven't been playing their best baseball the past 60 or so odd games. But that's a tight division race now. We're rooting for the Rays. It's a lot of Orioles money coming in, whether it's for the division, the pennant, or the World Series. And they're playing some good baseball. They got a big series this week against the Phillies, and then they have a big three-game set against the Yankees at the weekend.
So have you ever seen some of the huge jumps in odds from the start of the season like this ever before, in terms of like the Rays going from 2,200 to plus 550 and the Rangers going from 5,000 to plus 900? Have you seen it very often, those crazy swings?
This year feels a bit different than others, because every year you have a team that is a surprise team. They surge up the odds boards. They're going to make the playoffs. They weren't projected to do so before. But this year, to see a team like the Mets with like the highest payroll, they were the second favorite out of the National League to win the pennant, and now they're so far out of it, and it's hard to comprehend. It's hard to think of a year where there was a team like that. I mean, the Yankees were second favorite to win the American League, and they're like really out of it now. And then, yeah, you have like the Orioles and Diamondbacks. They've surged up the odds boards as like young teams that are really coming in. So it's hard to compare it to another year where teams arrive so early and then teams just completely miss the number all year.
So like the Yankees were what? They were 900 and now like 2,500. And then like the Padres were 1,400 and now they're 3,300. And like, I mean, obviously that smells like they're shot.
Yeah, it does. Yankees, again, are still weird because the wild card standings are so jumbled up throughout the middle. You have three teams out of the AL East who are still battling for those. It's going to end up being four when you look at what the end of the season might look like. And then you have a Houston or a Texas team that might be battling for that. So it's hard to have the Yankees drop further, but it is kind of wild considering the type of baseball that Judge was playing before he got hurt and how horrible the Yankees played in his absence. So it's really shocking to see.
What was the reaction to Harmon with him being such a massive underdog to win the Open Championship? Was that a problem for you guys, or did anyone hit big on him that bet those crazy odds, or was it it was good for you guys because he got through and no one had made those huge bets?
So our pre-live book was great. It was our best result on Sunday, was him winning the Open. The live book was just about break even, though, because I think once you hit Friday and Saturday, a lot of people, that's when they really started to get on Harmon. So it was a break even book on in play, and then it was a sensational book for us pre-live. So someone may have hit a couple bets on Harmon before the tournament, but it was a really good result for us.
So what about Messi? How much of a surge in betting was there when he debuted in Miami on Friday? Because I have to tell you, I was, you know, I went to watch the game, and I have Apple and Apple Plus and everything, and I figured, you know, I got to watch this. I just have to see it. And then I get on there, and they're like, oh, you got to buy the season package of soccer to watch Messi. And I'm like, I thought to myself for a second, yeah, no thanks. I'm not buying an MLS season package. I'll just watch all of his goal highlights on social media and on sports sites. I am not paying to watch that league because I don't give a rat's ass about it. I don't care what anyone thinks of me.
Well, you're talking to one of those Apple TV subscribers for the MLS here. I'm a big fan of the league. And it was definitely the most bets I've seen come through on an MLS team in a long time. And like, that's even including like MLS Cup finals and things of that nature. So, I mean, it wasn't a good result for us either, because it was a lot of Miami money that came in, and it was a lot of money on Messi to score a goal, and then over 2.5 hits. So wasn't a good looking book for us, but it certainly looks like there's going to be a lot of interest in whenever Messi's playing for Miami.
Well, listen, no disrespect to you. I like soccer. I like World Cup. I like Premier League. I like Euro Cup. I like big games. I like the Women's World Cup. I just have never latched on to the MLS for whatever reason. I said last week on a show, I know there's rabid fans in those markets. I know there's packed stadiums of 20,000 here and there with people going crazy, and they love it. I just have never gotten into it at all. When did you start getting into it where you got obsessed with it? Sounds like to me, and you got the package. I don't know anyone that has that package.
Well, for me, it was, I just go back to my dad bringing me to Metro Stars games at Giant Stadium. I go way back. Unfortunately, I am a huge Red Bull fan, and they have treated me worse than a lot of other pro sports teams I root for. But, I mean, I think they got to lean into gambling a little bit more. I put up – me and some of our soccer traders here at BetMGM, we put up some odds for the MLS, whether it's Supporters Shield. We have odds to make the playoffs you can go bet. We have odds for who's going to finish with more points. Is Cincinnati going to break the points record? So we're trying to drive up some product here, especially with more eyes on it, if people are coming to our MLS page to bet Messi. So if you, any exotic futures, you're like, we got plenty of them up at BetMGM.
That's awesome. What is the betting surge for the Women's World Cup? Is a lot of people betting on it?
It's really a game-by-game situation. The time zone, I think, hurts the handle for a lot of games. Like the U.S. Women's game, it was a big six-figure handle for us, which is pretty good for women's soccer. And then we've had low four figures for a lot of games because they're kicking off at 3 or 5 a.m., so it's not a ton of interest. But when it comes to the U.S. playing or there's a primetime 9 o'clock game, even a handful of 3 a.m. games, we've even seen some decent handle on them.
So a lot of unders in these World Cup games so far, hammering like 11 of the first 12 games under. Has college football futures and first week action, is it getting like steamy? A lot of people betting already?
The more college football futures are starting to come up as we get into around like 3 weeks away, I think, from week zero at least. So whether it's conference futures, we just posted odds for the playoffs, odds to go undefeated, and some division winners. So starting to see some action roll in. This is the biggest handle I've seen on the college football futures we've had since we've started rolling them out here at BetMGM. So definitely some interest getting involved, especially with, you know, some dead weeks in the sports calendar. People are looking out for the future, see what's going on.
All right. Well, next week we can talk about the NFL futures and, you know, the preseason games are going to start, the Hall of Fame game, and football is knocking on the door. Thank God. I think there's nothing worse than the Grateful Dead season in, you know, late baseball, late summer. Everybody wants football. Famous Seamus, BetMGM.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time for another exciting edition of Today in Carver High History.
Certainly is. We'll start in 1967 today. Race riots in Detroit forced the postponement of the Tiger-Oriole game that day. 68, Hoyt Wilhelm breaks Cy Young's record for appearances when he pitches in his 907th MLB game. 77, Pete Rose passes Frankie Frisch for most hits by a switch hitter, 2,881. 78, after saying one is a born liar, the other a convicted one about George Steinbrenner and Reggie Jackson, Billy Martin resigns as Yankee manager. He'd be the manager another nine times. 1983, the Pine Tar game. George Brett's homer against the Yankees disallowed because of excessive pine tar on his bat. Here we go.
They might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, he is. He's out.
Yes, sir.
Brett is out. Look at this. Brett is out.
And he's steaming mad.
He is out and having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan. And the Yankees have won the ball game 4-3. Brett is called out for using an illegal bat or with the illegal substance on the bat.
Man, that makes me feel really old. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was 40 years ago.
Then, of course, Brett would go ahead to win that appeal, right, Scotty? They'd have to go back and finish the game afterwards. 92, Faye Vincent reinstates Yankees owner George Steinbrenner. 93, Mets pitcher Anthony Young loses a record 27th straight start. Also in 93, Vince Coleman injures three when he throws a cherry bomb at Dodgers fans. What? 2011, Uruguay wins the Copa America by beating Paraguay 3-0 in the final to earn their 15th title. Throwing cherry bombs at the fans. Maybe that could be next up, Rodon Sleevy. Bloom kisses last week. Maybe next
more
up,
importantly,
cherry bombs.
And more importantly, 34C that year, remember, said she wanted to sleep with the entire Uruguayan soccer team.